This morning, we are going to continue in Colossians, and we're going to look at a passage that in a lot of ways is countercultural to our world, looking at the way the Bible teaches us of how the Christian home and the Christian family ought to be conducted and ought to function. And in Colossians 3, verses 18 through 21 this morning, we're going to see some things that are difficult to understand at first, especially from the lens of the world and what they say and the way the world is and the culture is today. But if we believe that this is the inspired, holy, and inerrant Word of God, then we must heed to what God's Word teaches us, even when it's difficult, even when it's against what the world says ought to be, because we don't want to follow after the things of this world. We want to follow after the things of the Lord. And so we're going to look at this passage this morning and see two things: marriage to the glory of God and parenting to the glory of God. And notice that this is the next passage right in our series. The Lord had this lined up sovereignly months and months and months before. I had no idea I was going to be here on this Sunday morning for Father's Day, and the Lord worked it out, and I'm thankful for that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, I'm going to ask if you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Wives, be subject to your husbands as fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Father, we're so thankful for your word. We're thankful for you inspiring your word by your Spirit. And Lord, we know that your word endures forever. So Father, I pray now, as we look at this Holy Scripture, I pray that, Lord, your Spirit would speak through me. Give me clarity of thought and of tongue, Father. Help us to have ears to hear what you would have to say to your people this morning, so that as we leave in just a few moments, Father, we can seek to be better wives and husbands and children and parents for your honor and for your glory. It's in Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The text divides up pretty easily this morning. Verses 18 and 19 go together, and verses 20 and 21 go together with marriage and parenting. Verses 18 and 19, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Before we dive into the text, what we have to understand is that this is not the first time in Scripture that God speaks to the roles of men and women, and especially in the light of marriage. Before the fall, in Genesis chapter 2, we know that God ordained and instituted what we know as marriage. Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 19, says this: "Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast from the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper or a helpmate suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh of that place. The Lord had fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. And the man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.' For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." It's a beautiful passage where the Lord institutes marriage, institutes the coming together of a male and a female, and bringing them together as one union to become one as a husband and wife. But pretty quickly, in Genesis chapter 3, we see the fall happen. And that beautiful relationship that God had instituted begins to be distorted and broken because of sin that enters in. We know that when the fall happens, the relationship between God and mankind was broken, but also the relationship between one another was broken as well. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, the Lord speaking to the woman says, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth, and in pain you will bring forth children, and your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." See, when the fall happened and sin entered into the world, the relationship that was instituted by God between a man and a wife, again, it becomes distorted to where a wife does not naturally want to submit, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment, under the authority of her husband. And a husband doesn't want to give godly leadership and authority naturally to his wife. But thanks be to God, he is gracious enough to change us, change our hearts, when he saves us from our sins and saves us to himself. That's what we've been studying throughout the book of Colossians, and especially Colossians chapter 3 for these last several weeks. We've seen that when God does a work in the life of a person, that person becomes renewed and becomes transformed, going from darkness into light. And that means that they, take me for instance, I no longer am the same son or the same husband I would have been, or the same brother, or the same friend. I'm transformed by the gospel and the Spirit of God. And you too, if you are a believer in the Lord, you should no longer be a son like the world describes a son, or a father like the world describes a father, or a husband or a wife like the world describes it, but as God says you ought to live. Which begins in Colossians 3 by thinking differently. And then as you think differently, you put to death the sins. We talked about mortifying sin and killing sin at the root. And then putting on Christ and taking on a heart of Christ and seeking to live out forgiveness and love and peace. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it to the glory of God. And then Paul dives right into our passage in Colossians by saying, therefore, because of all of this, all of your relationships should be different, especially in the home. And so he says here to wives and to husbands, he gives them a word. He's saying, he's assuming that these are believers. And he's saying, because of the gospel, you no longer have to live in this marriage like the rest of the world, trying to argue over who is going to lead the home. Paul is very clear here in Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, that the man, the husband, is to be the leader of the home. And the wife is to be the helpmate of that husband. Again, this is countercultural to our culture and to our world. And when we say these things, the world begins to put up defenses and guards. They don't want to hear that. But God's word is very clear in this. But we need to turn, if you want to turn, or if you will turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 for just a moment. Because before we look specifically into our text of a Colossians 3, Paul in Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 33, gives a bigger description of this same concept about how wives and husbands are to act in the home. Ephesians 5, verse 22, "Wives, be subject to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything." Right here he's saying that the wife, the head, the male is the head. The husband is the head of the household. He is the one that has authority and leadership. And the wife is to come under his submission. She is to put herself under the authority of her husband. Now, we're going to talk about in just a moment what that looks like and what men ought to do in loving leadership. But you are to be, wives are to be subject to their husband. They are to recognize that their role is not to be the leader of the home, but to be the helpmate in this relationship with their husbands. Paul gives a picture here in verses 23 and 24 of Ephesians 5, painting a picture that this is a picture of Christ in the church. As Christ is the bridegroom and the church is the bride, we are to come under the submission of the headship and the lordship of Christ. He's saying that that is a picture of marriage. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. He's telling husbands, love your wives. Sacrificially love your wives. He continues, verse 28, so husbands ought to love also ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. And then Paul quotes out of Genesis 1, because we are members of his body, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. It's pretty clear in the text what Paul is trying to get across and what he's trying to say, but again, because of the world we live in and the culture we hear and the narrative that we hear, people try to take these verses and say, well, that was in Paul's day. That doesn't apply to us anymore. But if that's a slippery slope if you start with that argument saying that things don't apply anymore, because that would take you away a lot of scripture. So we stand on the Word of God by believing that the male is the head of the family and the wife is the helpmate. So let's explain what this means. Colossians 3, verse 18, wives, be subject to your husband as fitting to the Lord. Here's what Paul's not saying. Paul is not saying that women and that wives are inferior to men in any way. Both male and female were equally created in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. God is clear on that. Galatians chapter 3, Paul is also clear that in redemption, in salvation, that men and women are equal before God. He says this, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. Paul is clear that in the creation order, we're all equal, and in redemption, we are all equal, but he still says that there are roles. There are orderly roles in the home. Paul is also not saying in the submissive part that the wife is to submit herself to her husband, that she is to submit in things that are sinful. If your husband is leading you in a way that is sinful and contrary to the Word of God, then you are not called to submit to your husband. You're called to submit to the Word of God. And that's clear throughout Scripture as well. Another thing that Paul is not saying, he is not saying that husbands are the only ones to have an opinion and a say in the home. He is saying that you are to work together, but ultimately, the husband is the one to lead in the final decision-making in the home as the head of the household. I do not make one decision apart from talking to Stacy. I don't make a financial decision, a spending decision, where I'm going, doing anything without discussing with her first what it is. Now, ultimately, I'm leading in that, but I don't do that on my own. That's not what Paul says. It's saying, he's saying that you are to lead and the wife is to be the helpmate. Why is Paul emphasizing this so much in several different letters? And why does the New Testament emphasize this? Because in this culture, husbands were very abusive in some ways with their leadership skills. They were not very kind to their wives. That's why Paul over and over says, love your wife. Love your wife. Be kind to her. But husbands, even Christian husbands, have two ways of using their authority. Some abuse it and are heavy-handed in their relationships and should not be that way. But some of them abdicate their authority and say, I'm going to let my wife lead. Let her lead spiritually. Let her lead with the finances. Let her make all the decisions. I'm just here to bring home the paychecks and chill out in the evenings and rest and let her lead everything else. That's not the way a godly husband is to lead as well. And so Paul is making sure that wives come alongside their husbands. That's what Paul is saying here. He says, wives, come under the authority of your husband and help them as they are leading this home. So what does it mean for husbands? Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. This love that Paul is saying is helping them to care for their wives. Paul also recognizes that these husbands should take their authority in the home and take it seriously, but he never says, rule over your wife. I hear too many Christian men saying, she just won't submit, and that's not the way that they are to start that conversation. I always respond with, how are you loving your wife? How are you caring for your wife? So what does Paul mean by this? He says, when you love your wives, it's first a self-giving, sacrificial love. This word for love right here is agape. It's the same word in Ephesians 5 that described as Christ loving the church and giving himself up for her. This love that a husband, a Christian husband, ought to have for his wife is a sacrificial love. A love where he puts her first and puts his family first, and it's no longer about him. This is a love that ought to be seasoned with gentleness and kindness and patience. You go back to verse 12, that's exactly what Paul said in Colossians 3, to put on the heart of Christ of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. And notice all of this is not separated from how they are to interact with their relationships in the church and in the home, and in late next week we'll see in the workplace as well. And so husbands, you are to love your wife by showing gentleness to them and care and patience. Wives want to know that they are secure and that they are taken care of and that they can entrust themselves in your care, which is another way to show them love is to care for them emotionally, physically, and spiritually, making sure that they feel secure, making sure that they feel your love for them. All of these different ways of leading your wife in love is what is honoring to the Lord. And so as we think through some of this, we need to ask ourselves some questions. And wives, we need to ask ourselves, do you see yourself in this role? Do you see yourself in coming alongside your husband as the helpmate and not the leader of the home, that he is the leader? Do you recognize that and understand that? Are you allowing your husband to lead in this way? And husbands, are you lovingly leading your wife? Are you being gentle and kind and patient towards her? Are you leading her spiritually? Are you leading her spiritually? Are you praying with her, praying for her, studying scripture with her and making sure she's growing spiritually? Are you making church a priority for your wife and for your family? That's a big deal of leading spiritually as well. Two things that Paul says here about wives and husbands. He says that wives, you're to submit because it's fitting to the Lord. It glorifies the Lord when the roles are right. When the husband is the leader of the household and the wife is the helpmate, that glorifies God. And when it gets mixed up, verse 19, it says that they become embittered. Harsh. Husbands can be harsh and cause bitterness and resentment between themselves and between their wives. And so Paul is very clear here that wives are to be the helpmate, to come alongside their husband, and husbands are to lead lovingly. Let me say one more word about leading lovingly to husbands, to men in here. One of the best ways for you to do that is to simply tell your wife every single day that you love her. I can't tell you how many men that I've talked to that said, Well, I said it to her a while back. She knows it. She ought to know because I care for her and I bring money home. I make sure she's got what she needs. And I said, you need to tell her that you love her. She needs to hear those words. It's not just the actions that you do. You need to take her by the hand and look her in the eyes and say, I love you and I'm thankful for you. That's what women need to hear in this relationship. They need to know that they're cared for. They need to know that they are honored. They need to know that they are protected. And husbands, you have a great responsibility, whether you realize it or not, to be the leader of your home and to honor God as you do so. There's much more we could say about this, but let's move on to the next relationship that Paul speaks of, which is children and parents. Verse 20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Paul begins speaking to children here. Speaking to children by saying that they are to be obedient to their parents in all things. Why? Because this pleases the Lord. So a few reasons that children ought to be obedient to their parents, ought to listen to their parents and follow after their instructions. One, it's all through Scripture. It's all through Scripture. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Very early on in the life of God's people, he told them, part of the way to live for me and to glorify me is that children would honor their mother and their father. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and an ornament around your neck. The author of Proverbs, Solomon, is saying, listen to my teaching. Listen to the words of your father and the words of your mother and seek to obey them and obey them to the glory of the Lord. Obedience, children, to your parents does honor the Lord. That's what Paul says here in verse 20 of Colossians 3. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. If you've ever wondered, how can I please the Lord today? Children, teenagers, obey your parents. Seek to obey your parents. And you are to do that as long as you live under their roof, as long as you live under their authority. And even when you move out, you still don't know everything. You still don't know everything. You're to honor them and you're to care for them. You're to take advice from them. You are your own adult at that point, but still, your parents have much to teach you. This is well-pleasing to the Lord to honor your parents. And parents, don't be offended when I say this, but children, recognize that your parents are not perfect. Your parents are not perfect. They are learning how to care for you and learning how to teach you the ways of the Lord. So you have to be patient with them just as much as they have to be patient with you. A third thing that we have to understand about why parents or children should obey their parents is obedience teaches other children around you that you love the Lord. We live in a culture today where children, it's all over television, it's in movies, bash their parents and speak ugly things about their parents and around their friends and degrade their parents. And children, if you want to stand out against the crowd, teenagers, you want to stand out against the crowd, show honor and respect to your parents, because there's not a lot of teenagers and kids doing that. And so respect them. Don't talk negatively about them. And if I can go back for just a moment to my last point, to husbands and wives, do the same. Do the same. How many times have you been around someone that continually berates and bashes their husband or their wife? Even as Christians, they speak negatively about their spouse. And that ought not to be the way that we talk about one another. Children, that ought not to be the way that you talk about your parents. Parents, it ought not to be the way you talk about your children to others. Seek advice, seek counsel, but it doesn't have to be spread among a lot of people. So children, seek to show respect and honor to your parents. And as you learn this obedience, I believe that you are learning at a young age how to learn to be obedient to other authorities in your life. Your parents are your first authority under God. But as you learn from them, you're learning to be under the authority of God. When you grow up and you take a job, you're learning how to be obedient to the authority of your employer. You're learning how to be obedient to the leadership of churches and to government and everything else. And it starts in the young age of learning how to be obedient to your parents. And ultimately, I said this a while ago, children, you will grow up and you will move out. And by God's grace, you will have your own families. And you will have the privilege of caring for your parents in your old age. Many of you have done this already, have cared for elderly parents. What a difficult thing that is. What a difficult thing it is to accept that your parents aren't young anymore. That your parents are getting older and that your parents, it's closer to the time for them to go with the Lord. But you care for them. 1 Timothy 5 is clear. If anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. There's a special call to care for your parents. There's a special call to care for your family and to make sure that you provide for them. And so children, as you grow up and you get older and you move out and you have your own life, make sure you remember that you are to still honor your parents and to love them and to care for them, whatever that calls you to do. Paul ends this section right here by speaking to fathers and I think mothers as well. He says, fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. I think he begins by speaking to fathers, but I think he's speaking to both the mother and the father because he recognizes, you go back to verses 18 and 19, that the father is the leader of all of this, but the mother helps as well. And before we talk about how it is parents can exasperate and cause their children to lose heart, let me say one word. That we live in a world that is full of millions and billions of people who do not know the Lord, who are lost and dying and need to hear the gospel. And I'm thankful that this past week at the Southern Baptist Convention, we commissioned 75 missionaries and families to go out to the nations, and I'm thankful for that. But there's a mission field in your own home every single day that you are to teach your children the gospel. Point them to Christ. Pray with them. Teach them the ways of the Lord. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9 says this, hear. And this word here also means to listen and be obedient. O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall diligently teach them to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. And they shall be frontals on your forehead. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gate. Moses, under the inspiration of the Spirit, says, fathers, mothers, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, teach your children about the Lord. Teach them the ways of the Lord. Point them to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does Paul mean here when he speaks of fathers not exasperating your children so they do not lose heart? Several things that we can think of. First of all, is recognizing that just because you live and you are Christian parents and have a Christian home does not mean that your children are yet born again. And so expecting lost children to act like believers is not going to happen. We have many Christians today that expect the lost world to live just like Christians and live according to the Bible, but that's not going to happen unless the Lord opens their eyes and calls them to Himself and draws them to Himself and saves them and gives them a new heart. The same is true for your children. So pray for their salvation. Pray that the Lord would open their eyes. Teach them the truth of the gospel. Another way that you can exasperate your children and cause them to lose heart is having unrealistic expectations set upon your children. Listen, you have goals and ambitions for your children, and that's a wonderful thing. But sometimes you set that bar so high that they are never going to reach it. And they just give up, thinking, I can't make them proud. I can't honor them in this way. And they lose heart, whatever that may be. Another reason that children can lose heart is because they're not shown proper love and affection by parents. We have a lot of broken homes in this world. We have a lot of broken homes. I have a pastor friend right now that is in the early processes of adopting two children, a brother and a sister. And these are toddler ages, preschool age kids that are having to fix their own breakfast and lunch and supper and care for one another. And he's in the process of bringing them into his own home. He said, all I want to do is make sure that they have a safe place at night to know that they're loved and they don't have to fix their own food at 4 years old. That they are cared for. And your children need to know that as well. I said this a while ago about husbands to wives, but tell your children that you love them as well. They need to hear that. Children need that affirmation that mom and dad care for them and love them and spend time with them. Spend time with them. That shows your love for them as well. Another reason that children can lose heart is because two things with this that kind of go hand in hand. Some parents can be overly critical about their children to the point where they feel like they never do anything right. Everything they do, every step they take, every word they say is wrong in the eyes of their parents, and they feel like there's nothing they can do to please them. And so be gracious to them. Be merciful to them. Help them to know that you love them and you're patient with them, which leads to another point of excessive discipline for children. Listen, I'm not against discipline. My parents showed me plenty of it and probably should have shown me more. And Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that children of God who are disciplined under the hand of God, it shows that we are true sons. And then that's a good thing. And ultimately, God's discipline for us is for our holiness. And children, when you're disciplined in the Lord, it's because your parents care for you. It's because they love you. They want what's best for you. But parents, again, be merciful in it. Be gracious in it, remembering that Christ has forgiven you of so much. Christ has been merciful to you so much. God's mercies are new every day. And parents, may yours be as well to your children. May you be kind and gracious to them. We could have spent weeks and weeks and weeks looking at these texts and drawing implications out, but I think for this morning, we've seen enough to apply to our lives. And so I want to encourage you to go home and pray and go back through these passages and pray. And pray for your spouse and pray for one another here in the church and families, that we would have healthy marriages to the glory of God here, and that we would have healthy homes to the glory of God here that point and direct people to the gospel. Ultimately, just a few last points for you, just quickly. Be patient with one another, husbands and wives and children and parents. Be patient. We are not yet glorified. We still struggle with sin each and every day, so be patient. Show one another grace. We all need grace every day, and we need to extend that grace. Colossians 3 tells us that we are to forgive as the Lord's forgiven us. Let us learn to forgive. Let us learn to forgive one another. And finally, let us seek the glory of God. That ultimately should be the driving goal of our families, of our marriages, of our parenting, that God would be glorified. And that's my prayer for y'all. That's my prayer for your family. That's my prayer for each one of you, that you would seek to be glorify God in the opportunities that He's given you within the family. I know there's different kind of family dynamics. There's all kinds of different family dynamics. But I pray that wherever you found yourself in your situation, that the Lord would use you for His glory. There are many marriages in churches that are broken. There are many homes that are broken, but The Lord is gracious. And the Lord, and let me say this. Where there is Christ in the home, there is hope. Where there is Christ in the home, there is hope. So don't give up hope. Days are going to be difficult. Weeks can be difficult. Seasons can be difficult. But if you are a believer in your home, then there is hope because Christ is there. So trust Him and seek to glorify Him every single day. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for Your Word. Though it may be difficult, Lord, I believe this is the Word that we needed to hear this morning. So, Father, I pray that You would be with the homes and the families that are here this morning. I pray for the spouses this morning, the husbands and the wives and those who will be soon, Father. I pray that You would guide and lead them. Help them to look to Your Word, to seek to live and to have a marriage that honors You. Lord, I pray for the children. I pray for the parents here, Father, and the grandparents here, Father. You would lead them according to Your Word. Help us to be gracious to one another and be patient with one another, Father. And ultimately, help us to have homes that reflect Your glory so that the outside watching world will look and see something different and that they may too glorify the Father one day. Help us to point to Christ in our marriages and in our homes for Your glory. It's in Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.